Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm going to be speaking from the text Ezekiel chapter 37. Can you hear the sound? I hope you enjoy it. Well, you know, I just come back from being in Asia, and last weekend I had the privilege of doing a wedding on the beach in Langkawi. But it was 33 degrees, but they said the equivalent feeling of 39 degrees. And the sun was just going down, except it was going down on my back and the rest of the crowd was in the shade. And wow, it was like rivers of living water down my back. But it was great, and so in Penang last weekend. But during that week, I was in the Philippines. And it was the same week, you would have seen it on the news here, that the ASEAN conference was on, where all the world leaders gathered. And they had, you know, all these different people. And so we arrived, and when we were going to meet pastors, some people said, oh, it's not a good time. They literally shut the city down for 3 days. It was the best time to be in the Philippines. If you've ever been to the Philippines, the traffic is unbelievable. Manila is unbelievable. But I want to tell you what usually takes you in the middle of the city to go about 5 kilometres can take you between an hour and a half and 2 hours to go 5 kilometres. It was taking us 10 minutes. I was catching Uber and going 5 kilometres down the road just because I could in the Philippines. But, you know, we were there, and it was all about connecting with pastors, leaders, people relating to our conference over there. And, you know, our conference is nearly sold out already. We're believing that at the end of it, we'll have 17,000 people coming together in January. How incredible is that in the Philippines? And, yeah, you can clap the Lord. But, you know, it's so busy with traffic that you can lie in your hotel room and literally you get used to a hum. There's just a noise that's going on all the time. You hear policemen blowing whistles, you hear, you know, traffic noise, and there's just a general hum in the city. But I'd gone to bed a little early because of time zone differences, and I'd gone to bed just after 9 o'clock, and I was lying in bed just about to fall asleep. And if you know anything about me, when I'm in my sleeping pattern, there's no waking me up. But suddenly I heard these noises like sirens, but it was sort of, you know, it was weird. It wasn't like normal siren. And there was lots of them, and there was lots of whistles being blown. And so I got out of bed, and because it was the ASEAN summit leaders from around the world, I suddenly realized that it was obviously somebody coming of importance, and they were making sure that everybody knew about it. I thought to myself, with security while I was there, by the way, isn't it weird how we're trying to be secure so we tell everybody we're there? Why do they do that? But anyway, it's a whole other issue. And so as I look out my window, a noise like I'd never heard before, and I was up on like the 11th floor or something, and I look down and suddenly I see all these special security vehicles come, and then there was 3 black cars in the middle. I don't know who it was, but it was obviously somebody in the world sense very important. But I at that moment thought to myself, here I am about to go to sleep in a foreign country used to a certain noise, but actually there was a sound that rose above that got my attention. And church, today I want to talk to you about, can you hear the sound? Can you hear the sound that cuts above the noise? Are you a sound that cuts above the noise? Or are we just contributors to the noise that we hear, not making anybody's attention come alive because of the sound that you hear? I want to read to you from the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. That was pretty average. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 1. Oh, that's better. I'm in Planet Shakers this morning. Verse 1, and it said, God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain. I want to tell you, we have an open heaven over Melbourne. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. God is wanting to do something in our city, and I prophesy it's an open playing field for those who'll rise up. Strewn with bones. He led me around, and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Master God, only you know that, he said to me. Prophesy over these bones. Dry bones, listen to the message of God. God the Master told the dry bones, watch this, I am bringing the breath of life to you and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin and breathe life into you. You'll come alive and you'll realize that I am God. Prophesied just as I've been commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound. And oh, it was a rustling. Something was changing. Something was happening. The bones moved and they came together, bone to bone. I keep watching. Sinews form, then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them. But they had no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to breathe. Prophesy to breathe. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath. God, the Master says, come from the four winds, come breathe. Breathe on these slain bones, breathe life. So I prophesied just as he commanded. The breath entered them and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. You are that army today. You are that army that has been spoken of. We are in a dry valley, but I want to tell you there is life and there is life more abundantly. There is a sound that's about to rise. Can you hear the sound today? God is about to do something through each one of us. So Lord, I pray today that we wouldn't leave this place the same, but we would leave knowing that we are the sound. Lord, that you have called us to cut through the noise and to step into all that you have for us, for our city, for our nation. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So how will you cut through the noise? How will you cut through the noise? How will you be someone that rises up? How will your sound be heard on the earth? How will you rise up? Many people today are living what I like to call a karaoke life. Now, I don't know about you, I was just in the Philippines and karaoke is everywhere. But I like karaoke. Anybody? Most people don't want to admit it. Okay then, who likes to sing even though you can't sing? Oh, a lot more. You like karaoke then. Okay, because everybody who goes to karaoke can't sing. But there's something so good, you know. Even as I was preparing this message, I was looking at karaoke online and there's lots of great karaoke sites. So I was singing by myself, singing some songs. And you know, I was just cranking it out, you know. Hallelujah. You know, I was finding songs everywhere. And it's amazing how in the comfort of your own home, by yourself with your computer, you can feel like you're pretty good. But karaoke is an interesting thing because it's a copy. You see, the truth is you wouldn't actually even have karaoke if it wasn't for somebody actually getting a song, putting it down, and us thinking, wow, that's a great song. But you see, God has an original for each one of us. But if we're not careful, we can be living the copy. We can look at Bill Gates and say, look what he discovered. We can look at this guy Musk or whatever his name is that, you know, created the Tesla and the batteries and all these. And we can look at these people and say, wow, I want to do what they're doing. And then we see for years to come copies of all of that. But God wants you to know today that your sound is an original. He has an original sound for each one of us. We need to recognize that in the valley, that sound needs to rise up. It's not going to be one of us, but it's going to be us in unison together that's going to bring about a change. So I want to tell you today, stop being a copy. Stop it. That's not what God's plan is for you. Whether you're watching online or you're in this building today, God has an original waiting for you. You just need to seek him and find him. He wants your sound to go out. He wants you to be that person that actually rises up and becomes somebody who has a point of difference. What cuts through the noise is when somebody has a different sound. There I was in my room, just about to go to sleep. But it actually, the attention, that sound got me thinking, I've got to go and see what this is. How many times have people come to you and said, there's something different about you. There's something on your life. There's something that you have. God wants you to understand you have a sound. Stop the copy. You're not designed to be a copy. You're an original. So what's your sound? We were recently in South Africa, and Ted was there with me, and we were there, and one of our great young champions there, she preached last weekend in church in South Africa, is a girl called Natalia. And Natalia is a fashion designer. You know, I know a lot about fashion design. Honestly, I don't know a thing. The only thing that I know, and she's a fashion designer, and her specialty is wedding apparel. So wedding dresses, and all I know about wedding dresses is I actually know more than the average bear, to be honest with you. You know why? Because I watch the show called Say Yes to the Dress. I don't watch it intentionally. I watch it because I'm forced to. Because I have two girls who love that show, Say Yes to the Dress. And it's all these bridezillas that come out and they put on 98 different types of dresses and they all say no, and then there's tears and mum says, why don't you get that one? And I don't want that one. This is my moment to be an original. And then it comes right to the end of the show. They find the dress every time. Of course, that's the show. And then they're standing there, and the only time that I really engage emotionally is when there's a father watching. So the father's sitting there, and dad's, you know, oh, you look beautiful. Funny thing is, the dads say you look beautiful for every dress that they put on. Mums don't, by the way. Wow, it's amazing what mums say. And sisters, and anyway. So the girl looks across and the whole show finishes with, this is the one. She's weeping, makeup everywhere. Have to get the dress re-dry clean because there's stuff all over it. Look across at dad. What do you think, dad? He said, I think you look beautiful. And he's crying. And at that moment, I've got to be honest, so am I every time. I have a 20-year-old daughter and I just can't think about it. It's like, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord. Probably more about how much is that dress. But anyway. But our designer in South Africa, Natalia, who preached in our church last Sunday, this week just got nominated as one of the top 7 designers in the whole of South Africa. And I thought to myself, isn't that fantastic? Because Natalia is the type of person, when there's a celebration and she's asked, she's getting interviewed by a magazine next week, why? Where's your source of inspiration? She's not going to go, well, I watch this other designer in Europe. And she's going to go, I got a download from heaven. I got it from my God, the expression of who I am. Her sound is in that industry. What about Zahing and Adlin last week? You know, Beulah International is their company. They're property developers, expanding rapidly. But last week, they won what's called the ARIA Award. It's not the ARIAs, it's the ARIA, Real Estate Institute Award, Gold Award for the number one property developer in Australia. Now, Zahing is on our church board, and he would attribute all that God does. Have you ever heard him do a speech at opening of his properties? He always attributes what's happening. Can you see that in property development, there's a sound? There's a sound in dress design. There's a sound in school teaching. There's a sound in university. There's a sound that's going out, that's cutting across the noise. We are that sound. So the question is, what is your sound? Don't live with a copy. I actually felt the Lord say to me before I was preparing yesterday, and he said to me, I want you to declare over people that in the month of December and January, I'll clearly speak to them about what their sound is. If you're confused, you're not sure, you came to the end of what you were doing, we need to recognize that God has a sound for you, and he wants you to operate in that. Not copy somebody else's, not do what you read in a magazine, get a download from heaven and live according to that sound that God has purposed you to be. There's a sound. Can you hear the sound this morning? In John chapter 1, and I got this great revelation from my friend on the front row right here, Ted. He was speaking to our business people. He had a sound. And John chapter 1 verse 6, it says this, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. Who's the light? Jesus is the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Isn't it interesting how John the Baptist, primarily what he did was he baptized people. So his name became John the Baptist. Isn't it interesting how we often define ourselves by what we do rather than who we are? Society tries to say, you are Joe the lawyer, or you are Neil the preacher, or you are Susan the teacher. But I want to say to you today, you are not defined by what you do. We as a church, if we're going to be a different sound, need to be defined by who we point people to. You see, John the Baptist's primary objective was not to be a baptizer, but it was to be one that would point people to Jesus. If we're going to cut through the noise, we've got to not get consumed with policy and what's happening in finance. We've just got to keep directing people back to Jesus. One of the great things that I love of the last few months is we've started to see averaging 150 people get saved for a couple of years. Suddenly, just in the last few months, we've started to see nearly 200 people every weekend make decisions for Jesus. The greatest replication of who our sound is seeing people discover Jesus. Our primary is not to build our world, but to build His world, to lift His name up, that name that is above all names. His name is Jesus, and we need to recognize that there's a sound that's going out, a common sound that's coming out of this house that lifts up the name of Jesus. So, noise is simply my vision, my dream, my company. I'm self-made. What I do. But remember, your primary cause is not you. Your primary cause is Him, because He's allowed you to have it all. Build something that's beyond yourself. Can you hear the sound? You know, when we went to PNG this time, there was a few things that really touched me. But one of the greatest things about it was not the big crowds and everything, it was the missionaries, when I spoke to them, those that went. And there was three separate occasions I spoke to people who'd been on a mission trip before. They weren't belittling the mission trip they'd been on or anything that they'd seen. They just made this one statement that stood out to me. I said, how are you enjoying it so far, you know? Is it meeting your requirements? Because I was looking at it from, we've put this on and I want to make sure they get a whole experience. And they're saying, oh, superseded our what we thought. Because I've been on a mission trip before, was their line. And I've had a great sense of involvement and enjoyment and I've loved it, and that's why I'm back on this mission trip. But being on this mission trip, there's a sense that we could actually win a city. We could change a nation. There's something different. It's a planet shakers mission trip. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? Then somebody else I talked to, it's a planet shakers mission trip. Why? Because we have a sound, church. We have a sound. It's not easy to quantify. Sounds, it's hard. How do you actually describe a sound? Look here. How do you describe a sound? Well, it's a wave. It's something you can't tangibly touch, but it's real. Make no mistake. And there's a sound that's going out across Melbourne. There's a sound, and it's a planet shakers type sound. It's a sound that is a common sound. The second question I want to ask you today, Pastor Russell talked about vision last week, but are you a part of the common sound? Or are you just making your own sound, because that resonance will only go so far? But I go into the Philippines and I'm talking to the chef at the breakfast bar where I'm eating, and he says to me, oh, what are you doing here? I'm here, I'm the international director of an organization. What organization? Planet Shakers. He goes, Planet Shakers. And he comes out from behind, can I get a selfie with you? He didn't even know who I was. It wasn't because I was one of the band or he'd heard the sound. The sound is going out. It's not something we can quantify, but make no mistake, you're in that isolated office and you feel alone. If you'll make a common sound, suddenly this dot will be joined and this dot will be joined. And rather than just hearing noise, people will start to hear the sound. The sound, the common sound. You see, it's not about you, but it's about His sound. The sound of a planet shaker. People driven by a cause, standing together,
Your vision, Lord, not my vision, our sound, our DNA. Oh, we have a pioneer spirit. We're going to go and do something that's never been done before. We have a sense of call. We have faith that believes beyond our circumstances. We're first class in everything that we do, the very best we can with what we have. Holy Spirit, there's a sense of He's there. He's presiding with us. We're presenting Him to people as much as we are Jesus. Empowering generations to win generate. Oh, it flows in our blood. It just oozes out of us. It's a sound. It's a common sound that's rising up. But you see, it's not building to ourselves. It's actually a safeguard for each one of us, because if we're not careful, we can actually make it about us. Each one of us has that power, that capacity that will ultimately corrupt us or take us away from God's purpose. If in any way you're drawing people to yourself, I want to ask you today to reconsider that. Push people to Jesus. Push people to His plan, His vision, His sound. And that commonality will go out. I like cruising. I love going on cruise boats. Part of the reason I love going on cruise boats is because you pay for it up front if you've never been on one, and you actually have to pay months ahead of time. But when you get on the boat and you've got a family like mine, it's fantastic because I don't have to think about money. They just get a card and they can't spend anything on that card, which is awesome. But most things on the boat are actually paid for, food and all the rest of it. So, you know, I go into the holiday and come out with the same amount of money in my pocket. Every other holiday I go on with my family, anyway, I should speak about that at the men's conference, or maybe some of you girls control the finances, you know what I mean as well. Maybe you're on your own and you just can't control your own finances. But anyway, I'm on this boat. And it's got various things that happen on the boat, and I love it. There's family games on PlayStation where families play. There's bowling, you know. There's ice skating rinks. There's all sorts of things on these boats. Incredible. But, you know, they have different events that different types of people can go to. So on this particular occasion, they had an art show. Tim would love the art show. I am not really a go and look at art kind of guy. I try to be, because, you know, it looks like you really know what you're doing and you walk around. But also on the boat, they have things as diverse as a belly flop competition. And I want to tell you, that's one of my favourites as well. I don't go in it because I'm so slender I wouldn't participate well. But watching other men take off all their clothes but their bathers, thank God for that. Jump into the water on their stomachs. The whole objective of the competition is how much water can be displaced from the pool. And it's great to watch. I don't know why, it just is. Somebody make an absolute fool of himself. But you go up to this art show. There's not many people up there. It's the only place on the boat that I really went, and people were there in suits and ties. I was there in my, because I thought on the boat you just have one standard attire. You know, you have a T-shirt, swimmers for those online, or bathers, thongs, well, for those online, flip-flops. Got to get that right. Don't get that mixed up between the bathers. And anyway, whew, that wouldn't be a good sight, particularly for those belly flop guys. But anyway, but you get into this art show and a Picasso pencil drawing comes up, an original. And they're talking between $50,000 and $100,000 is going to be the sale price. I'm thinking, who on the boat has that sort of money? It's a guy standing next to me, or sitting next to me, and he's got a cane with an ivory top on it, and he's sitting there, suit and the whole deal, doesn't say a word to me the whole time. And he puts his hand up when it comes. He pays over $60,000 for this tiny little drawing. I'm thinking, wow, he didn't think about the budget on the boat. But then we go out onto the deck, and we're all sitting on the deck. And on the deck, they have these pools and, hot tubs and spas and all these things. And so I'm sitting in the hot tub by myself. And of course, I've just got my bathers, my swimming trunks, whatever you want to call them, on. And I'm sitting in the spa. And then a man gets into the spa. He's like most other middle-aged men. A little bit hanging over the bathers. Not super attractive. A bit receding hairline. And trying to get in the spa as quickly as possible so nobody sees all those bits. And he jumps in and he sits next to me. I'm thinking, I know this guy. I've seen this guy. Where do I know this guy from? And then suddenly it dawns on me.
The man who wouldn't talk to me the day before, sitting with his suit and tie on, with his cane and all the rest of it, ha ha, he's just like me now. He's sitting in the spa with his swimmers on, like hanging over the top and a little bit insecure. And I'm like, wow. And it taught me a lesson that's just like church. Why we need to be committed to a common sound. It's because we need to recognize that in this environment, it's a level playing field. In this environment, we're all called by God. In this environment, we're all sons and daughters of the living God. It doesn't matter where we've come from, doesn't matter what we've done. In this environment, we are all His, and He wants to send us out as His sound. He's probably paying $25,000 a night for his room. I'm paying a ridiculously small amount of money because I've picked a room that you go down the lift and then you actually have to get off the lift and go down two floors by the stair and you're in the basement somewhere, can't even find the room. And lucky if it has a light in there. But hey, I'm still on the same boat as him. It doesn't matter. See, it's a common sound, but it's so hard for us to give up. So hard for us to lose. Oh, but what if I lose my identity? I want to tell you, your identity is not wrapped up in what you do. It's wrapped up in Him. We need to let go of our past and step into the future. We're all under a common vision, under common protection, under a church. Pastor Russell last week spoke of vision, a common sound. If we left this place with a common sound, we could actually start to hear stories about people who over here saw something happen, and then people over here saw something happen, and then people who are searching for God actually connect the dots and end up here looking for Jesus. Why? Because we all simply pointed them to Jesus. We all pointed them in His direction. About 12 years ago, God spoke to me. At that stage, I was the pastor of a church. He's a leader of a network of churches. And he spoke to me and he said, your season is up here. And to be honest, it took me 2 years to believe that that was the case. Why did it take me 2 years? Because I think it was more about what I was going to lose than what I was going to gain. Because he said to me, here I am, mid-30s, leading a church that's growing, in control, leading other leaders. When people talk about me, they say, Neil Smith, the senior pastor of Lakes Christian Life Center. Wow. Maybe I was starting to believe a little bit of my own press, what I'd done, how I'd done it, how I'd increased it. But I knew that when you're not a senior pastor in the church world, and you've got a different world, but in the church world, you get treated a little bit different. Oh, you're just part of a team. Oh. Sometimes even pastors who aren't really called, running a tiny little church that's not working, but oh, I'm a senior pastor. So they live with that sense, and I'm not putting them down, I'm saying that to say to you, maybe you're in a setting and you feel like you're in control, but is that your sound? Here I was. And I couldn't make the decision because what about me? I'm gonna lose me, he's saying. Go and join Russell. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. He said, that's my purpose for you. But what about me? And people introduce me, I'm planning. So, well, I'm not the founder, I'm not the senior pastor, I could be. Whew, things swirling through my head. I make the decision. As tough a decision as it was, we come, Leonie and I and the kids, move to Melbourne. First 3 or 4 years was tough because there's a removing our personal identity, not by Pastor Russell and Sam, but God positioning us. But if I'm honest with you today, my single sound as a senior pastor there seemed so big to me at the time, was so small in the context of what God had for me. But now I'm a part of this sound. Oh, suddenly it's resonating louder than ever before. I'm hearing of people that are in politics in our church and opportunities starting to rise up. I'm hearing of people who are in the education system, opportunities in the health sector, opportunities, people who are CEOs of company, people who are looking after kids and those kids are growing up to be significant people in their community. What God is doing through the common sound. But what do I have to give up? Because you see, you've got a unique sound. But when you put it together with the common sound, it starts to
rattle in the valley starts to bring a resonance of change, starts to cut through the noise of my. People start to say, what's different about you? The world we live in doesn't need more noise. It needs a different sound. Doesn't need someone to be represented here and there. It just needs a different sound. There's decisions that have been made even this week in our parliament, and some of us wouldn't agree. But the point is that God is still in control. So all we need to do is keep making our sound. And at the right time, God will raise us up. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it speaks of a sound in the valley. And then I heard a sound. It was a rattling, a consistent sound, a sound where something was changing, something was shifting. There'd been death in the valley all those times, but suddenly the bones are rattling. But they didn't rattle independently of each other. The Bible says that all of them rattled. And they came together. Sinews, muscles, skin, suddenly they came together. Oh, there was something that God was assembling. There's something that God is assembling. There's something that God is doing. He's wanting to raise up a sound that'll come together. And then he says, they'd been laid down. They'd been dead for so long, but they stood up. They stood up. I declare over you today, stand up. Stand up. Do what God has purposed you to do. And together there was an exceeding great army that stood up. A huge army that stood up. There was an army. They breathed life over this generation. And they prophesied.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I hope the message really blessed you. Why don't you check us out at Planet Shakers, all our social media. Look forward to seeing you again soon.